Stephen, good morning.
Hi, Philip.
Thanks so much for joining me. Now, straight on into it, how did Australians manage to get to the point of losing $24 billion to gambling?
I think the bottom line is that we have a state governments that do all of the heavy lifting and spending and have very little access to revenue, like company tax and income tax. So one of the few things they can do, as they're desperately trying to scrape money together, is issue gambling licences. So that's led to the state governments making $6 billion a year out of the $24 billion a year, which is lost. And at the end of the day, the state governments are the biggest addicts of all. They're addicted to the revenue, they're in denial, and poker machines are the majority of the losses, $12.1 billion a year out of the 24, and New South Wales is the worst state for that with $6 billion. So Sydney in particular has got the worst amount of prevalence of poker machine harm of any major city in the world. And it's quite a disgrace, to be honest, and Gladys Berejiklian and Paul O'Toole, the minister, really should be doing something about it. And they're not even making much money out of it. They're under-taxing the poker machines by about $500 million a year. So they have the lowest tax rates of any government in Australia on poker machines. So certainly a lot of change is needed in New South Wales, which is the epicentre of Australia's gambling epidemic, with pokies being the heart of the problem.
Right. I mean, $24 billion is staggering. It winds up being a little over $1,000 per person in Australia. I want to get into the stuff about state governments and taxation in just a minute. But first, can we look into this report and what kind of facts did this set of gambling statistics reveal about our problem gambling in Australia?
Well, the growth rate was 3.9% for the year, so it's $900 million. The growth rate the previous year was actually 7.7%, so at least it's slowed down, but the gambling losses are still growing faster than the economy. Sports betting is the fastest growing category, although the growth rate has reduced down to about 15% a year with all those ads you're seeing on the television. But ultimately, the rest of them, you know, casinos, we're losing over $5 billion a year. Crown Casino in Melbourne is twice as big as the biggest casino in Las Vegas. You know, so I mean, people forget that, but it's one of the 10 biggest casinos in the world. And it, you know, in Victoria, it comprises, you know, 31% of all losses. So Victorians lose $5.8 billion a year. And $1.8 billion of that is just at the one site, at Crown Casino. So, you know, the problems are across the board. It's the advertising on TV. It's the sports betting. It's these huge casinos, and obviously in New South Wales in particular, it's the prevalence of poker machines. You know, 95,000 poker machines spread across the community. You know, fleecing $6 billion a year off New South Wales residents.
That's continues to astound me, even as we go on. Now, I want to look into the government now. As you said, the government is perhaps the biggest addict of gambling. Now, with other, you know, destructive habits, which do wind up taking a toll on lives and taxpayer funding in other regards, like alcohol and cigarettes, they're all heavily taxed, heavily monitored. There's a lot of advertising going on. There doesn't seem to be too much in terms of promoting safe gambling and responsible gambling and trying to limit the amount of wagering that we do. What do you think that the government should be doing to try and prevent problem gambling?
Well, firstly, we probably need a federal approach because gambling is largely regulated by the states. It's all over the place. So the data that you were quoting from last week, the $24 billion a year, that was put together by the Queensland Treasury on behalf of all the other states and territories. But this data is only from 2015-16. You know, so it's actually, you know, 17 months old already. So the actual losses by now in Australia on a monthly rate would, on an annualised basis, would probably be $26 billion a year. But, you know, the governments all conspire to give very unreliable late information, whereas in Macau and in Nevada, Las Vegas, they release monthly gambling losses. And in the UK, just last week, they've just released their annual figures, and they do it every 6 months up until the end of March 2017. And their figures are the same as ours. So Britain's losing $24 billion a year, just like us, but they've got, you know, three times as many people. So I think one of the solutions is more federal involvement, federal regulation, more transparency on the data, and managing the conflicts of governments which are addicted to the revenue and therefore don't want to kill the golden goose. So they don't take a public health perspective to gambling, they take a maximise the revenue perspective driven by their state treasuries. So you've got to be honest about that, recognise the conflict of interest, and then you've got to deal with issues like political donations and the gambling industry being hugely powerful and hiring a whole bunch of former politicians. I mean, James Packer, who owns Crown, he employs, you know, Carl Bittar, Mark Arbib and Stephen Conroy. You know, three of probably the six most powerful factional players in the Labor right nationally in the last decade. And, you know, three of them are all working for James Packer to protect his gambling interests and influence the Labor Party. And, you know, lastly, the Labor Party itself actually owns 800 poker machines in New South Wales, in Sydney and Canberra. So the Randwick Labor Club and the Spy venues in the ACT. So there's no other political party in the world I'm aware of where the party itself is running pokey dens to fund its operations. It's got poker machine assets worth, you know, close to $100 million, the Labor Party itself. So the Labor Party's got to get out of the pokies. As well, you got to stop the donations. You got to stop hiring all these powerful figures. You know, there's a whole range of things that need to happen, and it is just a national disgrace that we're the world's biggest gamblers per capita, and you know, 40% worse than the next worst country, which is Singapore, which only loses $600 a head a year compared to our $1,000 a head.
If you're just tuning into The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Stephen May, spokesperson for the Alliance for Gambling Reform, about what needs to be done about Australia's record $24 billion a year loss to gambling. Now, Stephen, you've just spoken about all of the stuff that's happening in bureaucracy with all the problems that we're seeing in contributing to this massive gambling loss annually. Now, when it comes to legislation and reform, I know there have been some things floated which have been quite popular, prospects like $1 maximum bets on poker machines. What are some of the things that are on the cards and looking to be pushed through, and what are the chances of them actually moving forward?
Well, the Productivity Commission recommended the $1 maximum bet. New South Wales is still $10. Victoria cut it down to $5, although not at Crown, which is the biggest poker machine venue in Australia. So they're still at $10. So reducing the maximum bet is probably the most important thing you could do. Next important thing is just the prevalence of the machines, the fact that they're in, you know, 2,500 venues in New South Wales, trading hours. You know, I mean, Woolworths, you know, Australia's biggest supermarket company, can you believe that they're allowed to operate 20 hours a day in Victoria? That's the rules. And 51 of their 81 pokies venues in Victoria are operating the full 20 hours a day. So 9 to 5, but, you know, that's 9 a.m. till 5 a.m., not 5 p.m. So I think cutting down the operating hours and just also embarrassing institutions to get out of them. I mean, the Catholic Church owns 10 pokies venues in New South Wales. You know, with all this Royal Commission stuff, you know, if the Catholic Church wants to regain community trust, surely they should, you know, no longer have their name associated with running pokies venues. Same with the Labor Party, same with Woolworths, same with the CFMEU, the biggest union in Australia. They own a bunch of poker machines in Canberra. Same with Rupert Murdoch and News Corp. His Brisbane Broncos own a whole bunch of poker machines in Brisbane. So it's so institutionalised. You've just got to get a system where, you know, institutions that want to be trusted by the community no longer prepared to become gambling proprietors operating poker machines which are ripping off people with their predatory designs.
Mm. Well, it's definitely nice to be sort of outing some of these groups and people who are involved in the gambling industry who you might not have ever realised. I think that sort of transparency is very important in keeping people aware of just how gambling does work and how predatory it is. Look, there's been a lot of doom and gloom in our conversation thus far. In closing, I want to ask perhaps the most important question in this is for people who do believe they are developing a problem with gambling or have one already, what sort of things can you recommend to try and help people stop themselves from falling victim to problem gambling?
I think the first thing to do is to be open about it, that it is a hidden epidemic, and the shame of it is part of the problem, is that people aren't prepared to talk about it. You should talk about it. You should be open about it. You should seek help with gamblers' help. And we're going to change the language. You know, calling people problem gamblers That is the problem. It's just people who, these people are being harmed. The problem is the poker machine. You know, the problem is the industry. The problem is the government. You know, when you talk about responsible gambling, the government's being irresponsible. The industry's being irresponsible. So I think, you know, you need to say to yourself, you know, I'm a victim here. This is a health issue. This is not a personal responsibility issue. This is a health issue. I need to be open and honest. I need to go and seek help. Obviously, you need to try and stop. But, you know, you have to admit that it's very difficult for people who get in the zone. It is an addiction. It's a medical addiction. And so I think just, you know, seek professional help and be open about it and realize that you're not alone, that there are tens of thousands of Australians. I mean, how do you lose $24 billion a year? It's not just a small proportion of the population that's losing $24 billion a year, whereas the industry likes to shame these people into silence. And any prominent footballer who comes out with a problem, you know, they get hired by the industry and they become ambassadors for problem gambling. So David Schwartz, the former Melbourne footballer, Nathan Hindmarsh, the former Australian NRL rugby league player. So they get picked up and become marketers for the industry. But there are tens of thousands of people who are victims, and they should realise they're not alone. They should seek help, join the Alliance for Gambling Reform, work with others in a similar position. It's very therapeutic. You know, in Melbourne, we've got this great theatre group called Three Sides of the Coin, which is, you know, 10 people at a time who've been harmed by a gambling addiction doing stage productions about it, taking the mickey out of the industry. It's things like that which have been, you know, which are very good. But work together. Don't be silent about it. And you're not alone. And there are people, a lot of people fighting for you because this is, you know, an epidemic. Australia's the world's worst, and we're not going to let this continue.
Stephen, thanks so much for joining me this morning to drop some hard truths, shed some light on the issue. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Bill.